AM Public Investor 12-03894. Found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street wants covered up. I prefer being called six-pack Sally swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. Over the course of 9 years, after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, a victim of Don J. Bennett, the hoodoo investment advisor, found guilty on all 17 counts as charged, I've become a voice for investment clients and a voice for good investment advisors. First, New Prime Incorporated versus Oliveira, and then next, Henry Schein Incorporated versus Archer and White Sales Incorporated. Justice Kavanaugh took the lead with Henry Schein Incorporated and Archer versus White Sales Incorporated, ironically. Decades-long scam Wall Street has been pulling on Main Street is with after Archer and White sued, where Schein invoked the Federal Arbitration Act and asked the district court to refer FINRA dues-paying Business League members invoke the FAA, Federal Arbitration Act, after they are sued, not before. A district court ruled that Schein's argument for arbitration was wholly groundless, and so it denied Schein's motion to compel arbitration. The relevant contract I signed, in my experience as an investment client, taken into FINRA dispute resolution where my lawyer took me, and FINRA did not say no. The relevant contract I signed was with J.P. Morgan Clearing. And as I stated in the FINRA arbitration and then again in the D.C. court of Judge Ellen Huvel, I had no contract with either Western International Securities or Bennett Group Financial Services. I had a contract with J.P. Morgan Clearing, who I had not sued yet. But if I did, my contract with J.P. Morgan Clearing provides disputes. This agreement shall be governed by the laws of the state of New York. Any disputes arising under or related to this agreement, except for actions seeking injunctive relief and disputes related to trademarks, trade secrets, or other intellectual property, shall be resolved by binding arbitration in accordance with the arbitration rules of the American Arbitration Association, that's the AAA, and the place of arbitration shall be in New York. Now, let me point out something. FINRA's website says very clearly that investment clients go to court and investment advisors go to JAMS or AAA. And as I've said all along, once I figured things out, this contract I signed was not for investment clients. This contract was for investment advisors. J.P. Morgan's tax withholding department person, Erica O'Brien, said that this was the contract that was used by J.P. Morgan for both J.P. Morgan's investment clients and brokerage agreements. I accepted it at face value. I did not know to argue. Under the Act and this court's cases, the question of who decides arbitrability is itself a question of contract. The SCOTUS Supreme Court of the United States decision in New Prime Incorporated versus Oliveira is what one calls a defining moment, a signature, a crowning glory. In my case as a whistleblower, the Securities and Exchange Commission asked for help, chased, bullied me repeatedly in 2010 to do the right thing, to stop the bad things happening against investment clients. Along comes 9 years later, a moment of 365 times 9 years when I read something a Supreme Supreme Court opinion the same day I got a letter from the United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. Here I am reading the decision in New Prime versus Oliveira, reading the Court of Appeals letter, assuming I did not know as they write, this court may only concern judges who are members of this court or who acted in the course of official business of this court. Yeah, I know that. That the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit Court did not know was of concern. The Court of Appeals had released news they were investigating complaints into Judge Kavanaugh, now Justice Kavanaugh. Judge Kavanaugh wrote the opinion for New Prime Incorporated versus Oliveira. The syllabus said Kavanaugh J. delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. Justice Kavanaugh wrote, under the Federal Arbitration Act, parties to a contract may agree that an arbitrator, rather than a court, will resolve disputes arising out of the contract, stating under the contract in this court's cases, the question of who decides arbitrability is itself a question of contract. The United States Arbitration Act, enacted February 12, 1925, codified at 9 United States Code, Chapter 1, more commonly referred to as the Federal Arbitration Act, or FAA, is an act of Congress that provides for judicial facilitation of private dispute resolution through arbitration. The FAA does not apply in state courts. Federal Arbitration Act, preemption of state law. The Federal Arbitration Act requires courts to place arbitration provisions on an equal footing with other contract terms. It applies where the transaction contemplated by the parties involves interstate commerce and is predicated on an exercise of the Commerce Clause powers granted to Congress in the United States Constitution. The Commerce Clause has been viewed as both a grant of congressional authority and as a restriction on the regulatory authority of the states. The way the securities broker-dealer firms suckered investment client victims into FINRA, the Financial Regulatory Authority, is distorting the Supreme Court. Intrastate activity could be regulated under the Commerce Clause, provided that the activity is part of a larger interstate commercial scheme, meaning pulling, joining employees or independent contractors of a non-related entity, pretending they are connected to the securities broker-dealer firm by giving them the sweet title of registered representative when they are not, dealt with in Lucia versus SEC decision, the original contract rules. The question to be addressed by the Supremes next towards the end goal of helping investment clients and investment advisors is when a non-related entity fakes a claim, fakes a relationship. Lawyers took Bennett victims across state lines from Virginia into FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, in the District of Columbia for arbitration investment clients do not belong in. The Virginia Law Review addressed a course unbroken, the constitutional legitimacy of the Dormant Commerce Clause. The legitimacy of Dormant Commerce Clause says, what the skeptics forget is that no matter what powers were given to Congress, the states retained their police powers. A state's police power to protect the safety and welfare of those within its borders. In Lucia versus SEC, the justices wrote the original contract dominates. Justice Kavanaugh writes, "We conclude that it is not. The act does not contain a wholly groundless exception, and we are not at liberty to rewrite the statute passed by Congress and signed by the president." Yet for decades, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, and FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, a private business, have done just that, rewritten what the president signed and what Congress passed. Shine's agreement in the Supreme Court decision was governed by the laws of the state of North Carolina, with any dispute arising under or related to this agreement be resolved by binding arbitration in accordance with the arbitration rules of the American Arbitration Association, the AAA, AAA, in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was after Archer and White sued that Shine invoked the Federal Arbitration Act. As with after I sued Western International Securities and Don Bennett and Bennett Group Financial Services, it was then that FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, invoked the Federal Arbitration Act against me. I had told truths Wall Street did not want exposed. While Archer and White objected, arguing the dispute was not subject to arbitration, I did not make this argument. I could not have. I had no idea about these rules until I was found in bad faith, as it was, for telling truths Wall Street wanted covered up. I was, I am, exposing Wall Street's dirty little secrets. Archer and White and New Prime's argument was an antitrust dispute. Archer and White argued the district court itself may resolve the threshold question of arbitrability. It was reading, "The district court therefore denied Shine's motion to compel arbitration," when it hit me. Pardon my French. The whole thing has been asked backwards for so long. How could something so easy to see be unseen, be ignored, unless, as I have said before and will again, with intent, an intentional act to deceive? The language is clear. Court first, arbitration second. The language on FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority's website, is clear. Investment clients do not go to FINRA. Investment clients go to court. Investment advisors do not go to FINRA. Investment advisors go to JAMS or AAA if that is what their employment or independent contractor agreement states. No, not to FINRA. No, not at all. Court, 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 court. When then the court then determines of the matter, goes to FINRA, which the court could not order investment clients to go to, because FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, is for security broker dealer firms only, not for investment clients, not for investment advisors. No, nope, nada, zip. How does now Justice Kavanaugh get into this mix? Well, the D.C. District Court of Appeals dragged him in. A judge paralyzed out of state for 90-plus days, Judge Ellen Huvell, paralyzed, able to move one toe only, had orders being written in her name by a rogue court, covered up by judges hiding peer disabilities that went unreported, as required to be reported by judicial rules of disability. On page 6, Justice Kavanaugh wrote, "In 1925, Congress passed and President Coolidge signed the Federal Arbitration Act. As relevant here, the act provides a written provision in a contract evidencing a transaction involving commerce to settle by arbitration a controversy therefore arising out of such contract shall be valid, irrevocable, and enforceable, save upon such grounds as exist at law or in equity for the revocation of any contract." Writing further, "Under the Act, arbitration is a matter of contract, and courts must enforce arbitration contracts according to their terms. There was no contract between myself and Western International Securities and Bennett Group Financial Services. There was a contract between myself and J.P. Morgan Clearing, as stated in my response that I filed with the D.C. District of Columbia Circuit Court of Judge Ellen Huvell, a judge who was not on her bench, a judge who was disabled, out of state, unable to be a judge. And with my not knowing all the details, when this was pointed out to the court, to Presidential Supreme Court of the United States nominee Judge Merrick Garland, documented details, FINRA was never the forum for an investment client dispute. There was no contract with the FINRA defendants stated on documents that emerged that the judge knowingly let an unlicensed lawyer argue in the court that the FAA, Federal Arbitration Act, is for maritimes and commerce. That the Federal Arbitration Act, the FAA says, antecedent agreement the party seeking arbitration asks the court to enforce, and the Federal Arbitration Act operates on this additional arbitration agreement just as it does with any other." Continuing, "The Fifth Circuit and some other courts of appeals have determined that the court, rather than an arbitrator, should decide the threshold arbitrability question, if." To me, it appears very clear when Justice Kavanaugh writes, "We must interpret the act as written, and the act in turn requires that we interpret the contract as written. And when the parties cannot delegate the arbitrability question to an arbitrator, a court may not override the contract. When there is no contract binding an investor into an industry-only arbitration forum, the investment client is not to be taken into FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority Dispute Resolution Arbitration Forum, and doing so is a fraud, as the court says. There is no question." My question was, my complaint remains, now reinforced by the decision from the SCOTUS bench, if Justice Kavanaugh knew this then when my lower court complaint made it to Judge Kavanaugh's attention, then how could Judge Kavanaugh ignore there what Justice Kavanaugh writes here. The papers have not changed. The papers given to Judge Hovell's court clearly stated I was an investment client defrauded away from a court that was the only authority to assign the complaint to an arbitrator. Using Justice Kavanaugh's words, that is. To be sure, before referring a dispute to an arbitrator, the court determines whether a valid arbitration agreement exists. But if a valid agreement exists, that was not done. No valid contract existed. This case was hoarded up by FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, to make the case look compliant when the case was not. Fraud was used for the parties to contract delegates the arbitrability to an arbitrator. This was stated to Judge Hovell's court, to former Judge Richard Warren Roberts. You remember him, the judge being sued by a former 16-year-old Utah State witness then lawyer Roberts had sex with throughout the landmark civil rights case trial, Utah. My statement was remade to failed SCOTUS nominee Garland Merrick, and then remade to each and every judge that Stephen Gallagher and Elizabeth Parrott of the D.C. court said my up the food chain complaints were sent to in the court, including then-judge, now-Justice Kavanaugh. My facts, my papers, were restated each and every time another judge who should have known better was added to the complaint, all the way up to the appeals. And as the justice said, under our cases, courts should not assume that the parties agreed to arbitrate arbitrability unless there is clear and unmistakable evidence that they did so. It cannot be clearer than FINRA's guidance on disputes between investors and investment advisors that are not FINRA members. The statement that says, and the IA, an investor, submit a post-dispute agreement to arbitrate, and continues saying, and the investor files a special written submission agreement to submit the dispute to FINRA's Office of Dispute Resolution, that is. In my case, my FINRA dispute resolution, arbitration, neither I nor Don Bennett were given a special written submission agreement to sign. More so, the alleged agreement by Western International Securities signature, well, first name only, that looks a lot like the signature of Western International Securities Bradley Kaiser, was by a man who testified in Greenbelt Federal Court that he worked with Western International Securities investment advisory firm. And as we read just before, FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, itself says on FINRA's website that FINRA is not for investment advisor firms. This court has consistently held that parties may delegate threshold arbitrability questions to the arbitrator as long as the party's agreement does so by clear and unmistakable evidence. Again, to be sure, before referring a dispute to an arbitrator, the court determines whether a valid arbitration agreement exists. This was not done. And more so, this is not rocket science. A post-dispute agreement to arbitrate is not a contract before the fact. A post-dispute agreement to arbitrate is a con job, a fraud. How has this gone on so many decades unchecked, not stopped? How could this have gone on 7 days after a jury of Don Bennett's peers found Bennett guilty on all 17 counts as charged on the federal level, after the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, covered Don Bennett's crimes up in the least from 2010, in the most as far back as 20-plus years prior. FINRA Office of Dispute Resolution has received inquiries from lawyers who represent investors and those who represent investment advisors, which are not FINRA members, asking about the availability of FINRA's arbitration and mediation forum to resolve their disputes. Currently, as they wrote on the website, such disputes are resolved in court or in non-FINRA dispute resolution forums, offering the following guidance, stating, with respect to arbitration, FINRA will accept these disputes on a voluntary, case-by-case basis if the parties meet the stated following conditions. How did Judge Huvel's court allow the thievery of time spent allowing Don Bennett and Western International Securities to file an analysis of law citing Section 9 of the FAA, Federal Arbitration Act, knowing the law is court first, arbitration then referred by the court, not the other way around. Knowing that securities are governed on the state level under the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, not on the federal level, Section 9 of the FAA did not apply here. Parties can agree an arbitrator rather than a court can resolve the dispute, but this is not what the investor is told. Investors are told they signed an agreement to arbitrate, forcing them to arbitrate. When the party's contract signs a matter to arbitration, a court may not, as it say, resolve the merits of the dispute. Under our cases, courts should not assume that the parties agreed to arbitrate arbitrability unless there is clear and unmistakable evidence that they did so. There is no contract, no contract between Don Bennett and me, a client, no obligation to go into FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. 9 of the U.S. Code says, failure to arbitrate under agreement, petition to United States court having jurisdiction for order to compel arbitration, notice and service thereof, hearing and determination, stating, a party aggrieved by the alleged failure, neglect, or refusal of another to arbitrate under a written agreement for arbitration may petition the United States District Court, which, save for such agreement, would have jurisdiction under Title 28 in a civil action, or an admiralty of the subject matter of a suit arising out of the controversy between the parties. For an order directing that such arbitration proceed in the matter provided for in such agreement, 5 days' notice in writing of such application shall be served upon the party in default, and service shall therefore be made in the matter provided by federal rules of civil procedure. But we're talking about parties that are overseen state to state under the UCC. It's like a countdown. 4, 2, 1, to due process what we are doing here, what we are talking on. Those courts have reasoned that the wholly groundless exception enables courts to block frivolous attempts to transfer disputes from the court system to arbitration. I'm just not reading anything that says that it's blocking the wholly groundless frivolous attempt to transfer disputes from arbitration to the court where they belong. We must interpret the act as written, and the act in turn requires that we interpret the contract as written. When the party's contract delegates the arbitrability question to an arbitrator, a court can't override the contract. What about the court dropping the ball, letting decades of investment clients be taken away from the court into FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority Dispute Resolution Arbitration Forum? Section 4 says that a court, in response to a motion by an aggrieved party, must compel arbitration in accordance with the terms of the agreement, and when the court is satisfied that the making of the agreement for arbitration or the failure to comply therewith is not an issue. I ask again, but what when there is no contract, as there was no contract? As was then Judge Kavanaugh made aware in the court documents, there is no contract. To be sure, before referring a dispute to an arbitrator, the court determines whether a valid arbitration agreement exists. The court never determined if a valid arbitration agreement existed. In fact, the court was told no arbitration existed pre-dispute. The opinion by Justice Kavanaugh says agreement to arbitrate a gateway issue is simply an additional antecedent agreement the party seeking arbitration asked the federal court to enforce, and the FAA operates on this additional arbitration agreement just as it does on any other. Justice Kavanaugh's opinion says, this code expects all arbitrators, including those serving under Canon X, to preserve the integrity and fairness of the process. The code says nothing about dumbness. The code says, nevertheless, this code imposes no obligation on any arbitrator to act in a way inconsistent with the arbitrator's fundamental duty to preserve the integrity and fairness of the arbitral process. The arbitrators are supposed to know the difference between a special or industry submission agreement. A starting point for me, for arguments, to use to dispute, a starting point for me is the dictionary. Definitions of interest here are commerce and commodities. Definition of commerce is the activity of buying and selling, especially on a large scale, or exchange of goods or services for money or in kind, usually on a scale large enough to require transportation from place to place, or interstate commerce, law and legal definition, which is interstate commerce refers to the purchase, sale, or exchange of commodities, transportation of people, money or goods, and navigation of waters between different states. The legal definition of commodities is a tangible item that may be bought or sold, something produced for commerce. Commodities are defined as marketable goods or wares, such as raw or partially processed materials, farm products, or jewelry. Another definition is a tangible item that may be bought or sold, something produced
for commerce.
Goods, wares, and merchandise of any kind. Movable articles of trade or commerce. I'm looking at this and I'm wondering, how does giving investment advice fall into under the definitions of commerce and commodities? So be good, me back. Please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com and www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com and please LinkedIn. Everyone knows at least one other person a victim of Wall Street crime. We can lift this matter together into politics forefront where it should be. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of off of your time invested and your dime earned. So share our podcast, share your papers, I want to see them, the arbitrators, the lawyers, the agreement you signed. You have nothing to fear. Wall Street has everything to fear. So until next time.
Okay.